Amen. It's good to be in God's house. Psalm chapter 85 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 85, verse 7 through 13. Amen. You know, the more you get into the Word of God, the more exciting it is. The deeper it goes. And I believe God has something for us here tonight. Psalm 85, verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace. Everybody said, he will speak peace. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn away to folly or foolishness. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Praise God. The Lord shall speak peace. Amen. He will speak peace. And I just want to minister here tonight. Maybe you're here and you need peace in your heart. You need peace in your life. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to give us peace. Amen. But we're not going to find it just anywhere. We're only going to find it in him and through the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are y'all going to help me here tonight? Amen. I promise I will not go a long time, but I just feel that I need to do this here tonight because there may be someone that's here that needs to hear this. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for truth. We thank you for peace. We thank you for righteousness. And Lord, we ask you tonight to help us to understand how you work in our lives and what you want to do with us and through us and for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. When we talk about some of this scripture here tonight, verse 11 says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. And then verse 10, it says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And so we have a couple of words here that I would like to just talk about for just a little bit. And the first one is truth. Everybody said truth. Truth. There is something about truth that is very, very powerful. Whether you're talking about the truth in chemistry, whether you're talking about truth in mathematics, whether you're talking about truth in economics, truth is something that is very, very powerful because you cannot change truth. You may pervert it, and you may twist it and maybe make it sound like it is truth, but if it's not truth, it is going to be revealed at some point in time. Truth could be explained tonight simply by saying 1 + 1 = 2. And we could say, as some are saying in our generation, that 1 + 1 is whatever you feel it is. But there is truth, and thank God there is truth today. Truth is a foundation of our life, and when we base our life upon truth, then we can understand what it does in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 gives us the power of truth. It says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And what Paul was writing about here in 2 Corinthians is the truth of the Word of God. We cannot do anything against the truth, only for the truth. And our Bible, your Bible, is full of stories of people that tried to come against the people of God. They tried to come against the truth, but they never prospered. And the reason is you cannot do anything against the truth, only for the truth. Praise God. What we have tonight is truth. And nobody has the power to change it because it was settled when God created everything. And really, the only thing that's going to prosper is when we get on the side of truth tonight. And the scripture says here that mercy and truth are met together. And we could look at that and say, why does the Bible say mercy and truth are met together? Well, the truth of the matter is tonight that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we look at truth here tonight in that aspect, we can understand that all of us are on the wrong side of truth. Amen. We are on the wrong side of truth. We have failed, and truth tells us that we are failures. Truth tells us that we have sinned, and we know that it is the truth. But it does not do a whole lot to bless us, does it? That kind of truth has a way of making you feel condemned and making you feel as though you don't measure up. Praise God. And nobody's going to have peace until they understand mercy and truth are met together. This is actually a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, that everyone has fallen away from the truth. But when the Lord came to this world and manifested himself in flesh, he was the epitome of grace and truth. And grace is mercy. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now, actually, I would like to go to John chapter 1 and verse 1 and get this in the full context here tonight. I didn't have this down in my notes, but I want to cover it here. In the beginning, John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we know tonight that the Word is truth. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. The Word is truth. We find truth in the Word of God. There is no lie. The Bible says that God cannot lie. And the reason it says that is because he is God and he is holy. And so in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then if you go down to verse 14, and it says this, the Word was made flesh. And notice verse 1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Everybody said grace. And truth. Everybody said truth. Grace and truth, or mercy and truth. The grace of God is the favor of God. The grace of God is the mercy of God. It is true that all of us should pay the penalty for our sins. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. He told Adam and Eve, he said, in the day that you eat of the tree, or in other words, when you break the word of God or the commandments of God, in that day you shall surely die. And so death fell upon all men, and sin brings death, and the power of sin is death. And so death has ruled through the millenniums until the birth of that little baby. Amen. And Matthew chapter 1 talks about it, and it says that he would be the Savior of the world. You don't have to turn there tonight, but he would be the Savior of the world. And so he came with truth. He came with truth. And truth says that we should all be lost without God because of our sins. Truth says that we have all failed and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what truth says. But when Jesus Christ came, He came with grace. Everybody say that again. Grace. Thankful for the grace of God. Grace and truth have met together. And so when we talk about peace and having peace in our heart, what we must do is we must follow the same pattern that God has showed to us here in the Scriptures. Amen. The truth of the matter is that we have offended others. The truth of the matter is that someone has offended us. Amen. Someone has done us wrong. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, forgive us of our trespasses, because He knows that we have all trespassed. And then He said, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. And so how can we have peace? The only way that I know scripturally to have peace in your heart is to understand what the truth is. Maybe someone has done you wrong, but the only way to make it right is to have mercy. Amen. Did you know the reason we're here tonight is because of mercy? We're here tonight because someone had compassion on us. We're here tonight because the God of heaven, who could do anything He wants to do, He chose to have mercy and come and die in our stead. And in fact, the Bible says that He died for His enemies. Amen. And so mercy and truth have got to come together. And we were alienated from God. We were alienated from the blessings of God, from the commonwealth of God, but it was because of the price that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary tonight that we have the peace of God. And He says that the Lord will speak peace unto His people. And then He says mercy and truth are met together. Another part of this is righteousness and peace. Everybody said righteousness and peace. Righteousness and peace. It's basically along the same lines as what we've been talking about. Righteousness, and if you don't know what righteousness is, it is the state of being right with God. Now tonight, if you don't have peace in your heart, it's probably because you don't have peace with God. Amen. When we find what righteousness means to us, or what the Lord wants righteousness to mean to us, that we can understand, I am right with God. I have made it right with God. It is so easy for us to present a gospel that constantly brings guilt into the hearts and the minds of the people. But praise God, the real truth of the matter is tonight is that none of us can be righteous within ourselves. There is only one who is righteous. Somebody said amen. 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 There is only one that is righteous, and that is the Lord. And so how can righteousness come together, amen, and bring about peace in our lives? Well, He says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. When we look at the law of righteousness, there is no way that any of us can have peace with God. There is no way that we can come to God and have peace, because without the price of Calvary, we have no way of fixing the situation. There is no way that we can say, well, I'm going to do this right, and so because I've done this, I'm right with God. No, I'm telling you, the Scripture says that in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness or righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have carried us away. Amen. And so the very best that you and I can do is right there. It is filthy rags. Amen. There is no way in the world that I can do something that would impress God. Amen. I can't come up with an idea of how I can show God that I'm a good person. And so when we approach just righteousness by itself, it is not the avenue to peace by itself. Amen. And the only way that righteousness can join up with peace, where we can have peace in our hearts, is to know without a shadow of a doubt by the Word of God that I am right with God. Amen. And I can't do it on my own. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when he went to Calvary and they nailed him to that cross, the Bible says that he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. In other words, he took my sins and put them upon himself. He paid the penalty for my sin. Isn't that exciting tonight? He paid the penalty for my sin, and so tonight I can have peace in my heart because of the price that he paid. And when we enter into the kingdom of God, Romans 14 and verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Amen. Well, I wished I could just preach a little bit here tonight. Amen. But true peace comes by being forgiven. Amen. True peace in your heart comes from knowing that you have been forgiven by the Word of God. And I'm going to show you tonight how your sins can be washed away from you, and they will be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, if you please. And you can leave here tonight with a peace in your heart that I know God. Amen. I have met him, and he is in my life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And this is talking about the Old Testament law. But not only did they follow the Old Testament law, they added laws on top of the laws. And they came up with their own righteousness, things like how they washed their hands before they ate. It was a ceremonial thing. It was not in the Word of God, and they would criticize those who did not do that. Folks, we cannot get to the place where if I do something for God, that I would expect everybody else to do it because I did it. Amen. Come on now. I want you to know we've got to have peace among ourselves, and we cannot measure one another by our measurement. We must let God measure one another. And in order to have peace, we have to have truth, and we have to have righteousness. But praise God, it comes by grace and mercy. Amen. Everybody's in a different place, aren't they? Amen. Come on. Everybody's in a different place here tonight. We're all coming from a different perspective or a different place. And we're all striving tonight to reach out and touch the Lord. And so if I pray 10 hours a day, then I'm not really doing right. I'm not even spiritual if I demand everybody else to pray 10 hours a day. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Amen. If I have something that is a personal conviction in my heart, or something that I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart to do, or maybe just something that you come up with in your own mind. We cannot lay that charge to other people, but this is a personal salvation where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. That does not compromise the Word of God, and it does not change the truth of the Word of God, but it gives strength to the Word of God. It gives a solid foundation to the Word of God that when we do it from our heart, that God will take our sins from us. Amen. And He became sin for us. Praise God. And peace, real peace, comes from being forgiven. Let's look at it here tonight. John chapter 3. And I'm not going to spend a lot more time here tonight, but I want to just put a little seed in somebody's heart. I feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart here tonight. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, that's a religious leader, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And so what we see here tonight in this verse of Scripture, in John chapter 3, that there was a religious man named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler. Not only was he a religious man, but he had climbed the ladder of status in his religious community. But there was something in his heart. He came to Jesus by night because he did not have the real peace of God down on the inside. He had heard about the miracles. He saw the joy of the people after they were healed. He saw the joy of the people when he fed the 5,000, not including women and children. And something down deep in his heart said, I am missing something from God. Praise the Lord. I'm missing something from God. That's an honest heart tonight. And what it takes to have peace in your life is you've got to be honest with God and honest with yourself. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Got to be honest with yourself. And he was honest with himself. He took a big risk here going to see Jesus Christ because Jesus and the Pharisees were always at odds with each other. And so he came by night so no one would see him. And he said, Master, we know, we're not going to publish it, but we know that you are a teacher come from God. And Jesus looked past his religion. Jesus looked past all of his righteousnesses. Jesus looked past all of the things that he had accomplished in his life, and he said, you must be born again. Praise God. Nicodemus, if you want to have real peace in your life, you must be born again. He said, well, how can I do that? This is a foreign concept to me. I'm a religious man, and you're telling me things about the kingdom of God I have no clue about. I don't understand what you're trying to tell me here. And so Jesus made it plain and simple for him in verse 5, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. If you'll turn with me here tonight. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Here is the way to have no peace in your life. Amen. It is called the works of the flesh, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, that's the party spirit, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're not ever going to find peace. You're never going to find joy outside of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then he goes on and he says in verse 22, and here is where you can have real peace and joy in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice the first ones were the works of the flesh. So we have the flesh and the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God. And so when we have the Holy Ghost in our lives, it brings love and joy and peace. Amen. It can bring peace into your life. It will bring the ability to forgive those who have done you wrong. Amen. Those that are opposed to you, it will give you peace in the situation and a settled feeling down inside. I know God and God knows me. Amen. We're never going to find peace with just having money in the bank. We'll never have peace having material possessions only. Amen. You'll never find the real joy of life just by having things in this world. There is only one way to have the true joy of the Lord. Somebody help the pastor tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, it's to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Well, it all comes down to this. He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you've heard this already, don't just sit there tonight. Amen. We need to be excited about this message. This is the message that the world needs to have peace. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, our world is about to throw peace out the window. We are seeing so many things, even today, some things that are in the headlines, that we could be on the brink of World War III. That's how serious of a matter it is. Amen. There is so much unrest in our world, and we have to ask the question tonight, why, and we've heard this statistic just a couple of days ago, why is it that 75,000 Americans die every year by drug overdose? Why is there that many? That's more than all that died in the entire Vietnam War. Every year, that's how many people die. More people die from drug overdose than they do in car accidents. Amen. Why is that the situation? Why is everyone going that way? I'll tell you, there is a very simple answer to it. When God made you, He put a soul inside of you. Praise God. And that soul will only be satisfied by the one that put it there. Amen. Money, possessions, a chemical high, that is not going to fill the fullness of your soul. Amen. There's only one way, and that's to have peace with God through mercy. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. And I'm going to finish with these scriptures here this evening. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice there, they were filled with God's Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the people that heard this going on didn't know what was happening, and the Apostle Peter stood up and began to preach to them, and he got down to the matter of the soul. Amen. And he said in verse 36, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So there he tells them, all of your righteousness is thrown out the window. All of the good deeds that you've done has not produced peace in your heart and in your life, and you have the blood of the Messiah upon your hands. You are sinners. The truth is, you have crucified him. But thank God, truth didn't stand there by itself, and righteousness did not stand there by itself, because righteousness could not pay the price for joy and for peace. And they said, they threw their hands up, as it were, in verse 37, "And when they heard this, they were condemned in their heart," or pricked in their heart, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Amen. That's the logical question that every honest-hearted person will ask. What shall I do? What can I do to have peace in my heart? What can I do to know that I'm right with God and to have this emptiness on the inside of me filled up with joy unspeakable and full of glory? How can we do this, Mr. Simon Peter? In verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Notice here, "for the remission of sins." And so the first thing that God deals with in our life is to get rid of the sin that is stealing the peace in our heart. Amen. We can't have peace and have sin in our lives. Oh, the world thinks they can break truth and pervert truth and say, "I can be happy and I don't have to live this way. I can be happy and I can do whatever I want to do." We're living in a generation here in America, a generation that has no moral underpinnings and no foundation and no structure upon which their life is based. Anything goes in America. But you know what? America's not getting happier. Amen. The people that feel like they can do whatever they want to do, they're always angry. Amen. They're always angry. They're always protesting. And I'm not going to get political here tonight. But the very fact that they're angry all the time is because they don't have peace in their heart. Their lifestyle is not bringing them peace. And they certainly don't want to accept Jesus as the Messiah and as the Prince of Peace tonight, because it would mean that they were wrong in their moral assessment of human beings. Praise God. But there is a way here, and it is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice, for the remission. The word remission means to blot out or to wash away. The waters of baptism literally wash away all of your past sins and cleans us up spiritually on the inside, and prepares our heart and our life for the pure Spirit of God to come in. Amen. "And for the remission of sin," right there in verse 38, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so when we come to God, we come to God as an unclean person. We come to God with the need of salvation. We come to God dirty with sins, but thank God, the truth doesn't stand by itself. Grace and mercy comes with truth. Well, praise the Lord. Grace and mercy come with truth. And thank God the righteousness is not standing alone, but righteousness kisses. Amen. It kisses something that is very powerful. Praise God. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And there is a reconciliation now. Before there was a broken relationship, but now there is a reconciliation. And that reconciliation means peace. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Bible study night tonight. Thank God for the Word of God. Did you ever get in trouble when you was a kid? Anybody ever tell a lie and get caught? Anybody ever tell a lie and not get caught? Go ahead and admit it tonight. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but whenever I did something wrong, I just thought about it all the time. Oh, I hope they don't find out. If they find out, I'm going to be so embarrassed. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Amen. And then you get caught. And then you go through the whole process. And when it's all said and done, you're punished. And whatever the punishment is and it's over with, all of a sudden there's a peace in your heart. I got that behind me. I got it behind me. I don't have to deal with this anymore. I don't have to wake up in the morning with this unsettled feeling on the inside of me. I don't have to deal with depression that just seemingly comes out of nowhere. I don't have peace in my life. I see other people trying all these things, but they don't have peace either. And I don't want to go in that direction. But where can I go? I'm not preaching to you tonight from the mind of a scholar here, but I remember when I was 19 years old. I remember when I was 17 and 18 years old, and I got swept up in the crowd. Actually, it was in the middle of my 16-year-old part of my life. My mother and my father had passed away, and I was pretty much left to myself, and the only direction that I knew to go was the crowd, and the crowd just kind of picked me up and moved me in this direction. But somewhere out of nowhere, it seemed like all of a sudden I started getting depressed, and I thought about my life, and I thought about my future, and I thought, I'm not going to make anything out of my life if I keep going this way. But then Friday would come along, and I would get swept up with the crowd again. And then I would say, I'm not happy. I'm really not happy down deep inside. A friend of mine began to talk to me, and he started talking to me about the Lord, talking to me about God. And I said, hey, man, I don't need God. I got it all figured out. I don't need God. What a foolish young man I was. But one day I came into the house of God, and I'm thankful that when I walked through the doors of the church, while they were singing and praising God, for the first time in my life, I felt the Holy Ghost cover me. Like a big father in heaven, amen, that just wrapped his arms around me and said, I've been waiting a long time for you to get here. If there's someone here tonight and the Word of God has spoken to your heart, the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, don't bypass that. Don't discount that, because it is literally God Almighty speaking to your heart. Amen. I'm not God Almighty, but I'm telling you, God uses people to minister to us. Amen. Amen. I want us to pray right now together. And I want us to just ask the Lord, God, give me peace in my heart. And if you're here tonight and the Word of God has spoken to your heart, just pray that simple prayer. God, would you lead me to the peace, true peace in my heart, a peace that will last for all of eternity. Put a joy in my heart. Put love down on the inside of me by your Spirit, by your power, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's lift our voices right now. And if you don't feel comfortable lifting your voice, just pray to the Lord in a whisper. He'll hear the whisper of your prayer tonight. I need you more than anything, Jesus. Lord, I need peace in my heart. God, I need the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. I need something, Lord. My heart is heavy. My soul is empty. And I need the peace that you can give me.